What's up, everybody? It's Tommy Runs, and this is episode number 104. 104 episodes in, and this one is an exciting one. We talked about this on the podcast. I'm not necessarily sure how many times she's been on the show. I think this is the third time. It could be the third time, could be the fourth. I mean, it seems weird that I don't know that now that I'm saying it out loud. We said it on the podcast kind of like just in talking, but then I thought about it just now, like maybe I should probably take this part out of the intro of the episode, but I'm not going to, because that's just not what I do. I like to keep it super unprofessional. You know what I'm saying? Thank you so much for tapping into the episode. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast, like it, leave a review, that's my computer. Leave a review, say like, dang, Tommy Runs puts on an amazing show. The Run, Eat, Sleep show is like my favorite show in the whole wide world. This should be number one on all fitness podcasts in Apple, Spotify, all that stuff, Spotify, all that, That's what I want you to say. I mean, but in your own words. Anyway, so today I have Kira D'Amato on the show. Kira D'Amato is a long distance American runner. She is and has had the American half world record, American half record and the American full record. She's just done so many dope things. And the coolest thing about Kira to me is that she is an absolute normal person. And actually, I mean, she's not normal. She's actually kind of strange if you think about it. Like if you start talking to her, listen to her, like she's not like necessarily normal, but that's like what I like, because it's like she's like awesome, amazing, crazy, fun, and a wonderful mom and a wonderful wife, and like literally is what we want to know is possible. We want to know that once we get to over 30 or whatever, that we can still do our thing and we can still do it at a very high level. And she has proven that. And you can still have a family and you can still be present with your family and you can still go after your goals. Like that's what she represents to me. And hopefully that's what she represents to other people. And then you can also have fun in the process. So in this episode, we talked about almost nothing. I mean, we did talk about, a couple of different things here that like involving running, but we had some fun on this one. So hopefully you're doing it like a long run or something like that, or you just love the sound of my voice, or you just love the sound of Kira's and you just like to hear both of us talking, because we talk about almost randomly anything and everything. We talk about running. We talk about getting ready for Budapest, because she is representing the United States of America at World Championships Marathon. And I'm really excited to see what she does there. So we talked about that. We talked about training a little bit. But we just talked about, did I say we talked about everything and anything? Yeah, we did. So have fun with the episode. Thank you so much for tapping in. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. I love you guys. Talk to you in a little bit. Let me know what you think.
Is this thing on?
Are we doing this? Is this a thing? I wondered like how long that you were going to let that be awkward.
Approximately 10 seconds. That's as much patience as I have waiting at like a light that turns green and someone's in front of you that's like not going. I think that's probably about the same amount of time.
Okay. Well, how you doing?
I'm good. Okay, I'm going to start out. You're looking really good. And the word that comes to mind is fresh. You were looking very fresh in that color. And I use that as a compliment. Hopefully you take it as a compliment.
It's the word that comes to mind. I don't know if that made it good or bad. Like, not good or bad, but like, I think it made it like a touch more awkward. It's like,
well, hey. Isn't that what you say? Someone's looking fresh, then you look fresh, and you also just look fresh. So
I know, but like if you were like if somebody was like, hey, I like your car, and the word that comes to mind the word that comes to mind is fast.
Okay, you know? I've never pretended to be not awkward, so I'll own that.
All right. Well, speaking of awkward, so remember I posted a video yesterday, and it was of me seeing you in Boston.
Yes.
In the UCAN area.
Yes.
And not UCAN in the sense of like, you can do whatever you want to do, but like it was, the UCAN nutrition.
Yeah.
And you can.
But you can do it. Yeah.
You can. That's the thing about it, is like you really can.
You can, and you can, and you will, but you can.
And with you can, you really can.
So I watched the video without sound, but it looked like a pretty funny conversation. So I'm very excited to hear what you're about to say right now.
Okay, good. So you don't know. Okay. So number one, since you brought this up, I'm starting to come into like, so I'm about to turn 39 next week. Happy early. Thank you. And I feel like I found out just recently in the last couple of years that I'm really funny, or at least I think that I'm really funny, you know? And then now that I'm starting to do this Instagram thing, I'm starting to find out that there's moments that other people also think I'm really funny. Because like I'll have all these random videos of me doing something or saying something and other people laughing. So like I love those moments, and I always try to use those moments with music over, so they don't know what we're actually laughing about. But this time I did know music, and you can actually hear what was said.
So you're like,
oh, who's this guy? And then you hug me, and then you backed away, and you're like, sorry for ignoring your text messages. You're like,
I'm the worst, man.
You're like, sorry for ignoring your text messages. And I was like, that's why I have a better picture of me on the You Can stuff. And then you're like, yeah, that's a pretty good picture. And then so you were laughing at the fact that I have a better You Can
poster. That's hilarious. And I was waiting when you were saying I was funny. I thought you were going to pause and look for me to be like, yeah, you are funny. But you didn't even do that. You just rolled with it. And that's why I respect you.
Yeah, you got to some statements you can't allow for someone else to like throw in anything. Because if you didn't meet me with the same level of like enthusiasm, then everybody listening and watching would be like, wow, maybe he's not as funny as he thinks.
Well, see, I tell a joke and then I like hold for applause. And it's crickets. So I'm aware very quickly after I tell a joke that I'm not funny at all. So, okay. Yeah.
So you've done many interviews in person, like with crowds. So what's like one of the things, do you remember something that you said that was like, you just knew, like, this is, as I'm saying it, this is going to be it. Everyone's going to like be.
So like, one thing that I thought was funny in my head and it did not land. Was Allie and I were doing like before the New York Marathon, New York City Marathon, we did a live show and she thanked me like right before I left. So she was telling me goodbye and saying like, thank you for being here. This was generous of you to be here the day before your race. Mm-hmm. And so in my head, this felt funny, but it did not land again. So I said, well, you're welcome, but actually thank you to everyone here because I am actually sucking all of the energy out of the room right now to use for my race tomorrow. So thank you to all of you for giving me the energy. And the way it came off, it just didn't quite land the way I wanted it to. Like I was trying to be funny that I was, I don't know, some sort of super villain that was like, you know, sucking all of everyone's good vibe energy. I don't know why I thought that was funny in my head, but like everyone kind of clapped me off like, oh, that was a little weird.
I mean, I see where you're going with it, but then at the same time, I could see how it would be like, oh, I mean, because immediately when you said it, I pictured people's souls like just slowly coming out the top of their head, like coming to you.
Yes. And that was the like, I was trying to pretend like I was a supervillain with some sort of machine that could suck everyone's good running energy out of them.
Oh.
And
yeah, that's not funny at all.
It wasn't at all. Nobody laughed and everyone gave me like a confused, you know, that was a lot of fun. And Kier got real weird at the end.
But you know, like there's someone, hopefully this comes out and then goes like super viral. So everyone that potentially ran that race will listen to this and was at that that interview. And I hope, I mean, there's probably someone out there that was like at mile 23 and a half.
I know where you're going with this.
And was like, damn it, I don't have much energy left. And they thought of you.
Why'd she have to steal the rest of my energy?
I swear, I was good until Kieran took my energy yesterday. I shouldn't have gone to that podcast.
Yeah, that Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why in my head I thought that would be funny. And I'm sorry for those people who bonked. I mean, maybe it was my fault, maybe it wasn't, you know, I don't know. But I bonked too, so it didn't work for me.
Well, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, like it could be like a big like sales thing, like where like you go into rooms, super villain, you take everybody's energy. Mm-hmm. You know, short term it's gonna suck because they're gonna bonk the next day.
Yeah.
But long term, you like double back with your like Instagram posts and be like, you know what, I haven't bonked with you can.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe that was, it's a long term
maybe that was the play.
It's a long game. Yeah. It's a long game. Yeah.
But how's the family doing?
Everyone's doing really good. Thomas is like losing teeth left and right.
Yeah.
It's like really strange. Like when I was going through it growing up and I lost a teeth, there was some tooth. It was so much pride. Yeah. But now I'm just seeing like, it's like every other day it feels like a tooth just falls out. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's a little weird, but he's doing great. He looks like a full-on jack-o'-lantern right now, smile. So that's entertaining. And then Quinn is just a riot, man. She went to her first concert this weekend. She went to Kid Bop concert.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
I've got kids, but they're older now, so they're past the Kids Bop stage. But like, I just despised everything about Kids Bop for so long.
The family that took Quinn, they're superheroes. That's okay. They really like, that's incredible. I don't know if I could bring myself to it, even though I do like, I don't mind the Kid Bop. When Quinn's like listening to it, I'm totally fine with that. It could be worse.
But yeah, it could be. It could be like, I mean, Barney was pretty bad.
Barney, yeah. Or if it was like SpongeBob songs, I don't even know if he had songs. I feel like there's a lot of songs I wouldn't really want to hear. But okay, you know, so
what's your like least favorite thing? Like I mean, they're probably not gonna watch this for a while.
Yeah.
What's like your least favorite thing, like kids show that your kids liked?
Oh man. that's a really good question. Well, it's like, I think it's right now when they're watching on YouTube, kids playing with toys. I'm like, get outside, go ride a bike, go do something. Like, so right now they're in it, that they're doing it. It's like YouTube, and they'll watch like someone, I don't know.
Living their life, you know?
Yeah.
Mine was, since you asked, my least favorite was Yo Gabba Gabba. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah. We were after Yo Gabba Gabba. We never got into that.
Yeah. Like my kids were like right at the end of Yo Gabba Gabba and or right in the beginning of it. And so it was like a gap for my kids to yours. But like I was so happy they were like just enough, almost too old to be really into it. Cause it was just the creepiest show that was that's ever been.
I always try to get my kids to watch stuff that I would like. Like when my son was little, there was like BattleBots was on.
Oh, okay.
And he liked watching. He was into cars and stuff. So I'd be like, okay, I can watch BattleBots. That's fine. So I'd always get him to watch BattleBots with me instead of watching like Paw Patrol. So I'm a little selfish, but.
I think that Disney and like some of these other like, you know, movie production companies they have parents spoiled because like for a long time, like parents didn't want anything to do with kids movies. But now like,
some of the kids
movies are really good.
They're really good. I really enjoy going to watch movies with them. Actually, Anthony, I think, when I was gone in Maine this past weekend, Anthony started taking the kids through like the Spider-Man universe. So they watched, I think, the 3 Spider-Man videos. And so that came back to a couple Spider-Man fans now. So we're going through a big Spider-Man phase in the house right now.
Yeah, that whole Spider-Man universe is like really weird though, because like I was like arguing with my daughter about it. Cause she was like, well, no, like Tobey Maguire is this, is this. And like, she was trying to tell me how it happened. I'm like, no, like I remember I was there. You know?
Okay. I'm going to put this out there. I caught the end of the 3rd one and into new one. I did not like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. I will say he is the worst Spider-Man I've seen.
Okay.
Sorry, Tobey, if you're listening to this, he was just a little too awkward for me.
Did you see he was very awkward. Did you see the guy after him though?
Yes, I loved him. That's where I came in. So we watched. Is it Andrew Garfield?
Maybe.
Who is it? I don't know.
Black hair, right? Or something.
Yeah, he was loved him, and Emma Stone is in it too. So you gotta love that. But I think there's only 2 with that.
Just 2 with him, and I didn't really like see his movies as much because when they came out, I was at an age where I wasn't necessarily trying to watch that.
Yeah.
But I did see the Tobey Maguire ones, and you're right. I mean, Tobey he's pretty awkward.
Yeah, not into that one. Maybe I came in during a weird scene or something, but I'm not a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man fan. The next guy I like, and I haven't even seen, isn't Tom Ford? Is he the next one? I haven't even seen him in it.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's his name. I'm not sure. Like Tom something.
Tom something, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I think he's my favorite one, actually.
Really? You like him more than the other guy? I don't know actors at all, so this is as close as you're going to get to me talking about this stuff.
Right, I mean, I think he is the, because he's like the, he fakes a good New York accent.
Okay.
He like acts like a squirrely like teenager.
Yeah.
You know, like what, like, you know, kind of what you think that like, a Spider-Man would be. Like, yeah. I mean, Tobey Maguire probably was like 50 when that movie came out, you know, kind of strange.
I didn't realize Spider-Man took place in New York. Like, I thought they were all like made up cities, like
Superman and Batman are made up cities for sure.
Yeah, so I didn't realize Spider-Man, it was actually like a real place.
Real New York.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so now,
now that we got that out of the way and settled.
If you're still listening to this podcast, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I always love talking to you. And I was thinking about it. It's been about a year since you came out and visited us and we did the live show in my store.
Yeah.
And you got to see Anthony really display his athleticism for the world.
Because, what did he do? A sub 60 400 meter after dinner.
Yeah.
And a couple drinks.
And a couple drinks and some dessert. Didn't we have ice cream already?
Yeah, we had ice cream, yeah.
And I think really what made that video, I meet people that are like, I saw your husband do that race after eating all that.
Yeah.
But your commentary was, I mean, I guess I'll say Anthony's running was the best part of it. Like getting to cramp during the warm-up is hilarious. But your commentary was second best thing about that video.
Second best thing. So I took that, like, I took that momentum from last year. And just did a, me and two of my friends did commentary or like the MC gig for Twilight 5000, which is a Tracksmith thing that they're doing. So
we did good.
We did the first one and then we got invited back to do the second one, which was like,
well, then it went well then
2 weeks later or something like that. Just like a slightly different, you know, a different city, but just in this, you know, in the Michigan area. And it went well. So I think that like, if it wasn't for you guys last year and me doing that live, I don't know if we'd be here right now.
You know, I'll let Anthony know.
Please let him know. Please let him know. And tell him I have something, some really big news coming up.
It's going to be big. It's going to be real big.
Real big news. I was like chomping at the bit. And then you finally like, thank you so much for telling me.
I haven't told Anthony that I told you yet, but so I'll tell you the long version of this because this is hilarious. We were eating at this like Italian pizza restaurant and he was like, here, I just thought of like the ultimate like Instagram account joke thing. I'm just going to always tell people I have some really big news. And the way I tell people I have big news just gets like more and more elaborate. And he's like, for instance, watch this. And then, so I was like, just started filming him. And he's like, hey, Tommy Runs, got some big news. And then I was like, why are you picking on Tommy? He's like, I think Tommy would really go for this. And then he was like, okay, now get me under the table saying there's big news. So I'm like filming him under the table. It's like head popping down being like, hey, Tommy, big news. Big news coming. And so it was this, so I just started sending you the videos. So for this went on months maybe?
Yeah.
No, and you're like, what's the big news? I'm like, I don't know. He hasn't even told me yet.
And then occasionally, I'm like, wait, he didn't tell you. And that when you told me that he hadn't told you yet, that's when I knew. I'm like, okay, all right. I see what we're doing here.
Yeah, he was just like, yeah, tell Tommy I still have some big news for him. And I'm like, oh, gosh.
I felt like an amateur City is Mag. Like I was going to break some news in the running industry for a second. Here we go. Chris Chavez has nothing on me. That's what I was thinking. Like, here we go.
Tony D's got some big. Well, I love that, like, your guesses were very, very sweet.
Dang. I don't even know what I guess now.
Like, you're guessing he was going to do, like, a marathon or he was sponsored or, like, all these, like, really big things that really would be really cool if they happened for him. But
so, like, in a few years, we're going to look back and he's going to be checking off that list of my guesses.
Right. Well, he also was like, you know, if this goes on long enough, like say I drag this out for years, probably some pretty big news would come out in years. And he's like, so I'm just building a really long runway to announce something that I have no idea what it is yet.
And this whole time I thought we were friends. You know, I thought me and him were cool. Years of me of like this big news.
Well, I have to say, I mean, because I just started filming him and he was like, yeah, watch this, film this. And you were the person that came to mind. So I mean, out of everyone in the world, you were the one he wanted to tell this really big news to. So maybe he's just looking to impress you, Tommy.
Well, it was done. He did that. He did that. He did that in like literally 59 seconds. Yeah. I'll forever be impressed with that, 400 meters around the track.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. So you are, I guess we should talk about like running a little bit. I mean, considering, so have you thought about turning professional?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I was going to tell a joke and I just don't think I can deliver it, but yes, I've thought about it, considered it. And
I feel like you got to do the joke.
Okay. I was going to say, well, when I was younger, running was really, really hard.
Yeah.
And now I've been running for decades. And I'm no longer young.
Because running is still hard.
See, running's still really hard. That never changes. But that okay. is, when you came up with that question, that was
that's what I thought.
Yeah.
You're getting really good at these jokes.
Good? Question mark?
Yeah. I wouldn't say great. Just good. No. But honestly, like, so this is that's a good way to actually talk about running. So, cause there's people probably listening that are like, I tapped in for this for like to talk about, you know, like running with gear. Running does not seem to get easier, you know, like, cause when people hear you say stuff like, you know, running is not, you know, it's not easier. It's just different, you know, like not to be weird, but like you just, as you get faster, it doesn't necessarily get easier.
Yeah.
And it makes it hard for like folks that are running, like, you know, working to try to break 6 or 5 in the marathon. It makes it hard for them to feel like they can relate to a runner that's breaking 3 or running 2:30 or 2:20. What do you have to say to that? I mean, I know that as I've progressed, I feel like my first marathon felt just like my last one, you know? But what do you say to people that are like kind of finding that way through the journey?
Yeah, I think for me, I feel like I have a really unique like outlook on all of this because I've hit some really high highs and then I've also quit and I didn't run for a really long time and I've had to come back and start at like round zero. It always kind of feels the same. I feel like we're all struggling through the same thing. Like if you're out there, you know, like Kipchoge running 2 hours in the marathon, or you're out there doing 6 hours. I mean, you're running 26.2 miles. So, and arguably 6 hours, you need to fuel a lot more. You're out there in the sun longer. So that seems even more difficult, but I don't know. It's like, I don't know. It's, you know, finding to get motivated. To me, that's, you know, in the morning, sometimes you're moving slow and you're like, oh, I don't want to run today. Like I had one of those mornings today where I was like asking every member of my family if I could do anything for them. They're like, no, we're good. Just go run. I'm like, really? You don't need my help with anything? Like,
Are you sure?
And like, I came back inside after I already went outside and said bye. Like, you sure? No one needs anything. But, but I think we're all looking, you know, just to improve just a little bit. And so we're hitting those, like the edge of what is capable for our body in that on that day, and we're always just trying to push that ahead a little bit. And I feel like it feels pretty similar no matter like where you are. And when I like meet people and they're like, oh yeah, I'm a runner, but not a runner like you, I'm like, we're all doing the same thing, you know, we're all struggling through the same things. We all don't want to do it some days, we all have good runs other days, but yeah, I don't know. That was a really long, winding answer that I feel like didn't really go anywhere to your question. But yeah, we're all in the same boat. Yeah.
No, it did. I mean, because I think I've heard that many times, but you know, like it's just hard to like hear it and say like, oh yeah, sure. But I mean, it really is like this. It's really cool that in this sport that there is this unity where it's even at the top level. all the top runners say, like, no, we're all doing the same thing. You know, it's because you all have all been through that journey too, where you're just starting off new and you're just getting faster and getting better or whatever. And you're at this point in your career, but you still know that, like, no, I've never heard anyone say, oh yeah, yeah, it gets much easier.
I know.
Like, it's just you just up at a level and you just keep kind of like going to that next level. And I've even said, like, you know, I'm not a runner like Kira, but it's kind of easy to say, like, hey, I'm not fast. But it also is because we all put fast on such a pedestal, even at like the amateur level.
Yeah, but most of the time it doesn't matter at all. Like, yeah. I feel like, I don't know, I run in my pace. It happens to work for me, but like why I run is so much bigger than how fast. And I don't know. So when people like, I feel a little bad when people are like, oh, I'm not fast like you. And I was like, yeah, but we're all runners. You know, maybe you haven't run in a couple of years. You still can classify yourself as a runner, but yeah, me, like my marathon time doesn't make me any more of a runner than anybody else. But
yeah, you may run more than most.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, what, are you way up in miles right now? Or you're starting to come back down?
Yeah, I'm on. So I go in like 4-week cycle. So I'm on a regeneration week right now that will take. So we're about, I don't even know, less than 10 days out from a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Does that sound right?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably about 10 days.
I think it's like 9 maybe.
Okay. So much taper too much. But what I'll do is like we plan my regeneration week, which my mileage comes back down. But like once a month, I have a week that's like that's a lot lower in mileage. Mm-hmm. And then I'll do that 2 weeks back to back. So that's kind of like my taper, although it's like more of just like the way that I, you know, my training cycle. But so this week I'll probably be around 70 or so miles with a day off, which is kind of nice. And I'll probably do pretty similar next week. So, but I got up to like, my training this cycle was anywhere from like 70 to 100 miles a week. And then I do some cross training also. So a couple sessions each week.
And, you know, you ran Worlds last year and did a great job. And considering, I mean, you found out not very long before that race that you were going to be running it or that you were invited to run. And you like happily stepped up and said, yeah, of course, I'll do that to run for the country. what's different now this time around, and like how does it feel to have there be such a difference in like the planning of it?
Yeah, everything's different this time. I'm marathon ready. I had months to prepare for this, and I have the tempo runs and the long training runs, and like very intentional, you know, with my training for this specific race. Last year I was training for 5Ks and 10Ks, and then I threw in a marathon. So I'm really excited going into this one because this is how I would have done a buildup last year had I known. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited. And I think last year, you know, I raced a lot of marathons and only one I had like proper buildup for. So this is my first marathon in over a year that I did like a full buildup. So I'm really excited to see how that's going to go when I'm now like marathon fit. So yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm excited. It definitely gives me confidence going in with the training, like behind, like for me, I get my confidence out of like workouts and training, and
yeah.
I've been smooth and consistent and fit and making like really great progress and training through heat and humidity, which is miserable and terrible, but I think it's, you know, it's really good for me to do that.
And what, I'm the same way too, like when it comes to, you know, like some of the confidence comes like from the work that you put in. When you're like going into training, because I've been like listening to like books lately about like sports psychology and different ways to just like kind of tap into like whatever that next level is for you, and you know, find motivation in different spots to like make sure that the training is like the energy that you meet training with is as high as possible every time you go out there. Mm-hmm. Like, what are some things that like keeps you maybe not motivated is the wrong word, but like energized for like these big workouts and like locked in, because you're training at a level that you're trying to up the game almost every time that you race a marathon, you're trying to up the level.
Yeah.
How do you stay in that mode throughout training? And is it like every workout at a time you have to do something special?
Yeah, I treat workouts very similar to I would treat a race. So I get up with a similar amount of time as I'd get up on a race. I eat the same things that I would on a race day. I make my bottles in the same way that I would. So I feel like I'm simulating a race so much that by time the race comes, it just feels more like a workout. But also by putting myself in that position of like really going for it, I don't know. I'm kind of, it teaches me how to grind and how to work through that when that's going to happen in a race. sorry, I have something in my throat, but I can like hear it in there. So I think that really helps. But then also, like, I have like my why for the season. So, like, there was one workout I did where, like, it was one of the toughest workouts I did this season. And I finished, like, it was 2 mile repeats. And I finished and I was just like down. Like I ended like on my mat, on the track, just out. And I was just like, wow, that was a great workout. And my coach was like, all right, you're not done. And I was just like, I threw an F-bomb at him. And I'm not someone that usually like curses. I mean, I wasn't cursing at him, but I was like, I can't do that. Are you kidding me? And in my head, I was like, okay, if he says you have 200s, I could probably do that. If he says 300s, I'm out. I'm just going to walk off the track. And he was like, you got 4x400. And I was just like, I just like my immediate reaction was just to like flee because I was like, I'm done. And he's like, do you want to be the best in the world? And I got right up, did my 4x400s, and it went great, you know? So I think just those kind of little reminders of what your goals are in points where you're really suffering, it kind of helps you to try to work through that. So I don't know. I mean, I did the 400s, it went great, and I finished and like apologize to my coach for being a little bit of a wuss in that moment. But, you know, that's why I have a coach to kind of keep me accountable in those times. But, so I think when you can train with like a really strong sense of why am I doing this and make sure that why is really important and authentic to you and your goals, it's easy to get excited about something that you're excited about, I guess.
Are you comfortable with, because you said you have your wife for the season, are you comfortable with sharing your wife for the season?
Yeah, I'm gonna crush it at Worlds in the marathon. And I'm going to use that as a really good tune-up for the trial. So everything I'm doing this year is to build up for Orlando and ultimately Paris for next year. And that's part of the reason why we thought like a summer marathon would be great because it's going to be hot. It's going to be probably a little bit humid and Orlando is going to be like that. So it's, you know, I want to crush it and make sure that, you know, I'm in a really good spot come February.
That's dope. That's dope. And I mean, I'm sure, you know, it's been a lot of talk about, you know, Orlando, the trials and the time of the day that it is and all that stuff. And you mentioned that you're doing a lot of training in the heat. It's not a guarantee that it's going to be a hot day. I was actually on a call the other day. I'm like, you know what? It's going to be fine. Laura Thwaite was on the call as well. I'm like, you know what? It's gonna be great that day. It's gonna be like 45. It's gonna be, you know, nice little like 1 or 2 mile breeze, you know, mile an hour breeze. But do you have any like, do you have any thoughts about the timing of it, or is it just, it is what it is for you?
You know, like I heard the announcement and I've just stayed out of it because I'm so focused on Worlds. And so I'll think about that later. And whatever time they decide, I'm going to prepare for that. You know, obviously, I don't think it should be in a spot that puts anyone at risk or at harm. And just knowing the type of athletes everyone is, everyone's going to be giving it their all. So it's, you know, definitely puts people in a tough position, but I haven't even put any
That's
like brainwaves towards it because I'm just like, get through Worlds and then we'll figure out what we need to do to get ready for February.
yeah. I mean, I think that like just to change subjects from that, but still take like that mentality is like, you know, there's so many times that like in life or running or whatever, where like something changes that's really out of our control. And then we put so much into it. Not saying that like the thoughts and the were valid, you know, in some of our concerns with whatever issues like at work or life or whatever. You're valid. You're correct, and it's not like, you know, you're not wrong that it could be a different time or like this person shouldn't have said that, you know. But there's only so much you can do, and I love that you're like, you know what, your response originally was like, number one, no brainwaves towards it because I got something else to work, you know, focus on. But then when you get back, it's not like you're going to be like, okay, now let's harp on this. It's going to be like, okay, how do we, what do we do to like, to prepare for this moment?
Right. And I think like, I'm the type of person, like, you just tell me the rules and I follow the rules. So if you tell me the race starts at noon, like, I don't know, my reaction is, okay, get ready for a noon race. Like, so I think that's just way I handle everything in life is, and I don't know if that's good or bad, but just tell me, you know, tell me what the set of rules are and I'll work within that to be the most prepared for that. But yeah, noon marathon, I don't think, I mean, typically marathons are not at noon, they're early in the morning. So it's going to be a little different. So my training will be different to prepare for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you kind of like, it, like hearing you say that you follow the rules is like, it's kind of funny a little bit because like, like, I mean, maybe like, I guess when I think of you, I think of someone that's like kick ass, like, you know, forget what everybody says about like, you know, age or whether you should be able to take a big break and come back or like,
see, those aren't rules. Those are opinions. So that's definitely a little different. I definitely like if we're going to go play a game, I will read through the entire instruction manual and make sure everyone is following the rules in the game. But like, yeah, with stuff like that, those are everyone's opinions. You're supposed to be slowing down and stuff. So that I don't listen to opinions, but like when it's, you know, the law or whatever, the facts there, I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like there's so many, like, there's so many like constructs that like people, I mean, that we just consider as rules or like the guidelines of things that, you know, maybe, you know, because the big splash, like when you know, as you started to rise since like 2020, it was like, it was almost so shocking because you're defying the rules, you know what I mean? Like,
okay. I see what you're saying there.
Yeah. Like, wait, this isn't supposed to be happening and this, you know, whatever, like, how is this possible, you know? And I think that's like kind of what I was thinking when you said, like, you know, tell me what the rules are and I'll follow. Like, I don't know. But
okay,
like,
I see that. Cause I definitely, I mean, I'm unconventional. I'm okay doing things my way and I don't mind standing out and being unique and doing things differently. Absolutely. But it's, No, I see.
And you don't mind like throwing like a random joke about like taking people's souls, you know, during a panel.
Yeah, I guess that's not really following the rules either. You shouldn't be making jokes about people's run souls.
Like, you'll never get invited back to a
No, they're like, you are done. We are, we are
done with you. And so you said, so earlier you said like that you were talking about like some like your workouts and stuff, because I'm in this like, because I'm training for a race and I'm really excited about it and I really want to go for it.
Wait, what race are you doing?
Berlin.
Sweet. Have you been telling people? I didn't know.
Well, I mean, yeah, you don't even answer my text messages.
Okay, I don't answer any text messages. You unanswered text messages in my phone right now.
You probably get a lot of text messages.
It's embarrassing.
No, I mean, you obviously answered something because you're on the show. So I mean,
yeah, true. Yeah, every now and then. Berlin's gonna be awesome, man.
Yeah, so I announced it like a little while back, and I've been kind of talking about that and New York because I'm gonna do New York as well.
Okay.
But New York is going to be more of a, like for like a fun. Well, I don't really know how to have like normal fun. So like normal people probably would like run Berlin fast and then like, you know, chill out and then maybe just run as like kind of fun, you know, whatever. But I think that as long as I feel good a few days after Berlin and maybe can do like a run that following Saturday that doesn't feel like I'm dying, then I probably would go for it again in New York. But we'll see. But I'm really excited.
Awesome. I love that plan. I did last year and I'd do it again if I had the chance.
Wait, you did Berlin, New York?
Yeah, Berlin, New York. I did World's Berlin, New York last year.
My bad.
So I added a little craziness to your craziness.
You couldn't even, so I did the redemption tour.
Yeah.
You have a shirt, right?
I have a shirt and Linda has a shirt and she wears it a lot.
I want to see a picture with Linda on the, so Linda, so she's the one that told me about the Runner's World picture.
I didn't even know.
Like, it's kind of weird that I'm just randomly in a magazine and I had no idea with my name spelled wrong. Great. but so I'm really excited about Berlin and so there's this book called The Champion's Mind or A Champion's Mind. I'm not really sure. And it's all about like, you know, like sports psychology and like philosophy. And one of the things that it talks about a lot is like thinking gold, you know, and like having like your gold, silver, and bronze like goals for a thing or like life or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and always having like that wake up in the morning and have that like gold mentality mm-hmm. of like, today I'm going to train like an Olympian, or today yeah. I'm going to train like a gold medalist or whatever. And I loved it because it's like, I mean, obviously I'm not training to be a gold medalist in Berlin, but I mean, because if Kipchoge wasn't going to be there, I probably would have.
I was here just going to say, you never know, you know, don't count yourself out.
If it rains, I'd be good. Like, I feel like that's like his only kryptonite is water. So if it rains, we might be good to go. But so it's like everyone can have this, a gold goal, you know, mm-hmm. everyone can have this, like this somewhat of a reach. Like if everything goes perfectly that day, and I've trained perfectly or work or study and all these other things, then I could reach that goal. So I'm really interested in like your training, because I've seen you train. Like I still talk about that to this day. Like seeing you do a workout it opened my eyes about like how workouts are run, you know, because I didn't grow up around running, you know, I started running when I was like 33 or 34. Yeah. So I've seen me do it, and I'm decent at them, you know, but like seeing like you just like grind through this workout, and it was a long workout.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, okay. That's what you're supposed to look like, you know, like you're really supposed to get after it, you know? Mm-hmm. But so I'm wondering, like in workouts, sometimes like it'll get tough soon, like earlier maybe than you thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're fit, you know you're whatever, but it's like in the second interval, it's like, holy crap. How do you deal with that moment in workouts and then also in races?
Yeah, well, if it gets tough too quickly, you may want to reconsider your warm-up, because maybe you're not doing a good enough job getting warmed up to hit those times right away. So that would be the first thing. So if very early on, I wasn't feeling great or wasn't able to get in that rhythm, I think I'm not warming up enough and my body isn't ready to start at this pace. So I need to look at doing maybe a little bit more, some extra like surges, some tempo, maybe in my warm-up itself. So my first reaction was maybe your warm-up needs to be, but then also, I mean, there's some workouts where it just like, oh man, it just early on, it starts to suck. And so you kind of think like, this is why I'm doing this. Like in a race, you're going to get to a point where it's all going to suck and you have to practice working through the suck. Mm-hmm. So like when I'm in workouts that I just feel like I'm just dying, I think this is a great opportunity to practice what I'm going to do in a race when I feel like this. So like, that's how I've changed my mindset to work through that stuff. But then there's like a third option too, that some days like, you're off. You didn't sleep well. You're coming down with something, like the weather's too hot. There's just some days that are so off. And there's sometimes you kind of got to abandon like the time and just go on effort those days. Because like I've had workouts where there is nothing I can do to hit that pace, whether I was coming down with something or the weather or whatever, that I was like, you know what, I'm just going on effort and I'm going to work as hard as I can today. I'm not going to quit because I'm never going to quit in a race. So I'm going to practice working through this, but it's going to not be quite what I signed up to do today. And that's okay. You know, if you start seeing a trend of those, then you start need to evaluating, am I setting goal times that are too quick? Am I not doing well? Am I not recovering enough? Like making sure you're taking your easy days easy and building in like rest days is really huge to be able to hit the times you want to hit on your workout. So there's a lot of different factors, but I think if it's a one-off, like just use it as an opportunity to like work through the suck.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot. I mean, cause I think you asked me to do a warm up that day with you. You didn't ask me, asked if I wanted to. I'm like, sure. I got on Vaporflies. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
and it like you warm up faster. Well, number one, you're much, much faster than me. Like in the marathon. So like in my head, I'm thinking like, oh, of course, like, you know, 8 minute pace or something. And you got out quicker. But then we talked about that too. Like, you're like, that was one of the things you said, like, and that I forgot until you just said it now, is that, you know, sometimes I feel like in warmups, we lean towards like extra slow because we're like, I want to conserve all my energy for this workout. but then it could come back to kind of bite you in the butt because it's like you're not warmed up. Like you didn't actually warm up. You just, you kind of did, but you maybe not as like as aggressive as you should or could have.
Yeah. And since I saw you, I've even, because I felt like it would take me an interval or two to get into the workout. So in the last year, I've completely redone my warm up. So now I'm feeling like good to start. But like it has like, I don't know. It's like you want, yeah, you like just what you said, you want to conserve everything. But I've learned that I got to get into that rhythm and the pace. So now I'm doing a lot more like tempo-ish stuff during my warm up. So I'll get like warmed up and then do a couple like little like surges and stuff that are longer than just a stride. So now when I'm on like the starting line or starting my workout, I can get into the pace right away, which has been a huge adjustment and awesome. And I think a lot of distance runners, I think sprinters do that really, really, really well. And distance runners, I feel like we use like, oh, I'll warm up during the race. But when you're in a race, you're really trying to go for it. You need to be warmed up to start. So I think like, and I look around at races and I feel like my warm up is a lot longer than most people's. And I'm not even doing as complicated as warm up as, you know, sprinters or middle distance people. But I think we can all work a little bit on warm up to make sure we're ready to go from the start.
So with a race like this coming up, you know, we're talking about Worlds in Budapest, obviously. What, like, do you, I mean, because you've been training for this for months now. I mean, do you wake up in the morning and like, just think about that race in as motivation to make sure you get up on time and all that stuff? Or is it just kind of in the back and you're just worried about the workout that day?
That's really good. I feel like everything is targeted towards that goal, but I don't like wake up being like 19 more days till Budapest. Like, I don't think like that, but I am very aware that this is the process. Like, I guess I'm a very like present person. So I'm in whatever I'm doing that day, but I know why I'm doing that is to add up to something to bigger, I guess. But it's funny too, because like, I know talking a lot about why, and then also I can be a really like obsessive person. So I try to like really distract my mind most of it. So when I'm in the workout, like I'm working through it, but I also try to kind of not get way too obsessive about it. I'm really talking in circles right now.
No.
You're telling me two different things, but
I think I mean, it can be both things. You know, you can't, it can be like, I'm trying to, you know, I don't wake up thinking about like all nonstop all day. Cause then you'd be like a terrible everything if all you thought about was breakfast. Right. But then in the workout, so like in the workout, do you kind of like lean towards like that visualization thing? Like, are you talking?
Yeah. So in workouts, I'm working through like, do this now so you can crush your race. So like, I'm constantly thinking about racing in my workouts, but yeah, my every day, I try not to think about it too much because then like, you gotta come down from it too. You know, it's like, I can be so focused during the workouts, but during like real life, I'm thinking about whatever I'm doing, but.
Yeah. And you do a really great job at like balancing, you know, family and work and running. Like what is that like? I mean, cause I've heard different people say it like on different podcasts and talk about like balance and stuff. And I've heard some people just flat out say like, there is no such thing as like real balance because like, there's going to be times in life if you want to go after anything. Yeah. Or get like, you know, start a company or get a PR on a marathon or whatever. There's going to be moments where you're kind of skewed towards one side. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you do that with this being your profession? And then also you have very, very big goals in running. How do you balance? How do you keep it less unbalanced, I guess?
Yeah. So the word that comes to mind.
The word that comes to mind
is sustainable. So like,
hold on.
It's a different kind of balance. It needs to be sustainable. My life is never going to feel balanced because there's times where I'm not running at all and I'm just all in on family, you know, and there's times right now where I'm like a week out from a race and everything else in my life, except for running, is suffering. So I try to think like, is this sustainable? And for short periods of time, being like all in a little crazy and that like running kind of trumps like getting up early to drive, you know, XYZ to camp or whatever. So that is not sustainable for my family long term. Like Anthony, I mean, he's an awesome superhero of a dad, but he can't do everything, you know, but he can sustain those short periods going into a race when I'm really all in on recovery mode and everything. So I feel like when you're thinking about how your life is run, like, is it sustainable for you and your family to do long term? And I think little stints of, you know, imbalance is okay, but you need to make sure that you and your family can balance it for the long term. So I guess that's kind of how I look at things. And I don't think it's ever going to be even. And I think if you try to, you know, add it all up and have it, you know, try to figure out what's fair or how it should balance, it's never going to work out. And like Anthony and I, you know, it's hard not to try to keep score sometimes, but we've learned we're happiest when we don't keep score. And it's just everyone is working towards Team D'Amato. So like when I'm on break, I can help out a lot more with just everything around the house. And when I'm, you know, on my like high volume weeks and I just need to nap because I'm exhausted, you know, he's really pulling up the slack. So I think, you know, the family goal is to just get everything done and for everyone to be healthy, happy, and, you know, kind people. So I don't know, I guess we all work towards that goal, but yeah, I guess that's, and you just do it, man. You just do it.
No, I like sustainable. I like that a lot because it's, you know, cause even in that, you know, going after a goal thing and you can be all in on that. There is certain points where people can get to the unsustainable side. And even when they get to the point where they are they're like there and they could actualize this goal, mm-hmm. they don't even have it, you know, yeah. because it's like, you've gone too far. You're too far. Like you've taken too much out of the bank on that side, you know?
Right.
And you need something to keep you sustainable throughout like all the months of training and whatever the thing is. Like if you're studying for the bar, I'm sure that, you know, studies would probably tell, like, you probably shouldn't just study for, you know, 3 months straight. Like you probably need to get away and come back and stuff like that. So I love sustainable over balance, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, like, I don't know, there's like little things that I do that make, I don't know how to like explain this, but like if I am so all in and obsessive, it stops becoming fun for me. So I work really hard on making sure that I'm doing everything I need to do. And I know where I can like relax. Like for instance, like watching an hour or two of TV before bed. So I stay up a little bit later than I probably should, but that's my way to feel relaxed and to feel calm and to feel like just the pressure is totally off in a weird way. Like I feel like if it was so regimented to go to bed between 8 and 9 every night, like I wouldn't be able to sustain that because I'm not happy. So I give myself a little bit of grace in areas and like, you know, sustain up till 10 or 11 or whatever, like, you know, I'm a little bit more like flexible with that. And then when it gets into race time and close to that, then that will cut out and I'll go to bed a lot earlier again. But so I give myself some grace in areas and some leeway, but, although I don't think sleep is something that you should like cut out or I don't know. That's not my point of this at all.
Did you ever have trouble sleeping? Like was sleeping ever an issue for your training?
No, I love sleeping, man. I really love sleeping and I'm a really good sleeper, but it's just like when I'm lying in bed, sometimes I just like want to, I don't know, just watch TV or so for an hour, so and I'm not going to feel guilty about that. So
I don't have a TV in my bed now, in my bedroom.
So we usually don't, but right now we're living with family cause we're transitioning and I have a TV in my room and it's awesome.
Is it really great? Okay.
I feel guilty saying that, but
anyway. Is there something like a show or like a movie or something that just gets you like fired up, like pumped up?
It's always like something random. So it's like whatever phase I'm in. I don't have like one that I always watch or anything. It's just like whatever I'm watching. But I have for two like marathons, I watched like Pitch Perfect before and both of those went really poorly. So I do not watch Pitch Perfect before races. So that's like my only requirement at this point.
I mean, if somebody said, yeah, like one of the top marathoners in the world watches Pitch Perfect for your races, I was like, yeah, that's not a thing.
No, I don't anymore. So I do not recommend that. But anything else is fine.
Was there you just wanted to be like light and funny?
Yeah, just light and funny. And one time, like it was just like, I think it was the first time I watched it, and it was like we were in the hotel and I was like, oh great, I've never seen this. And then the second time it was just on TV, a rerun, and I got sucked in. So the second one, I should have known better by the second time, but yeah, I can't do that.
One of your competitors probably like four streams. Right?
They rewired my TV, so all the plays is pitch perfect. I mean, I like the movie, it's great, but I can't do the full race anymore. Yeah. But I also can't do something really funny. So like right before the Houston Marathon, I was watching something that made me laugh a lot. Yeah. And I had like a side stitch from laughing on that day. So when I started the race and I was like, oh my gosh, did I just blow up this chance because I watched some show that made me laugh way too hard? So now I can't do anything that makes me like laugh out loud.
Okay.
LOL.
So you just LOL and not laugh out loud, actually.
I can LOL, but I cannot laugh out loud.
So when something happens, you just like LOL, LOL, LOL.
Yeah, I can act, that was funny, LOL. But I can't actually laugh out loud.
So like Tony, like he just can't be funny. Like when you get on the plane, no funny stuff.
No funny stuff, yeah.
No funny business.
Yeah, in fact, now I don't even really travel with him and he has to get his own room because he's just all funny stuff. So I just
It's too much. It's too much.
It's too much funny. He needs to take his funny somewhere else.
Bring it down, bro.
take your monkey business somewhere else.
Right, exactly. Random switch back to like, so about family, right? So we were, I was on a conversation talking about like influencing and stuff. And you're one of the athletes that does a really good job at influencing and, you know, creating content and, you know, and showcasing brands in your life and stuff. And
that's a huge compliment because I didn't think I was good at that, but I just want to say thank you. That really means a lot that you'd say that.
I appreciate it. Rule number one when you have a podcast, kind of flatter your guests, even if it's a stretch, you know. So it was like we were just talking about like you know, the different like do's and don'ts of like, I guess, of influencing and stuff. And then somewhere in like since like Kardashians to now, it's like this thing where everyone feels like they need to be fully open and show everything. And some people in the industry right now that are doing really well, like a Laura Green or like a Kafuzi, they kind of have a wall, you know, when it comes to certain things, like they don't really show family as much and all that stuff. But you do a really great job of showing your family and kind of like making it, you know, it's like a family affair, you know what I mean? Because when you started this, I don't think you intended to have like this big social presence. How do you handle, cause you do a really great job at it. And like, that was the first thing I said, how are you guys doing? You start saying like your kids and all that, but like, how do you feeling and balancing like that, like exposure of like the family and then also focusing on what you're doing in the brands? Like, how do you do all that?
Yeah. It's funny because I haven't ever sat down and thought about like a strategy, but I'm just doing the same exact things as I would have when I had a few hundred followers, you know. It's just like, it's me. So I don't think I have some grand strategy, but I just try to have like fun with it, you know? And like when something makes me laugh, I think this could make someone else laugh. So why don't I share that? So like, I always try to keep like everything on my channel, like authentic and funny and show what I'm doing. And I do think it's cool to like show other brands and other people that are doing some really awesome things. So I try to like highlight that. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I don't have some grand strategy other than like, just this is me and this is what I do. And this, take a look at, you know, inside my family. And, you know, my husband is, he's hilarious, you know, and he's like much more charismatic and like camera ready than I'll ever be. So it's fun to like just show a little glimpse into him. And he's like a big part of this, you know, he's, you know, my biggest supporter and fan, and like, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today without him. So I don't know. So just showing just kind of Team D'Amato and how you can make this all work. And I think actually that's a large part of it too, is when I came into this, I was a little bit of anomaly.
I think you're throwing in one extra syllable, but
can you say it for me? Anomaly.
You did it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anomaly.
I think before you were saying anomaly.
I was like, this doesn't sound right.
You weren't saying it fast enough.
Yeah, anomaly. But so I wanted to show people how they can do this with families, you know, so that was important for me to show how you can balance it and how you can be a very present mom and do this. And I think that we need to see more examples of particularly mothers balancing out like a professional career or athleticism or like something in their life that, you know, may not benefit the family, but makes them feel good about themselves. So that was real important to me to show how I do that and how my family is interactive of that, and just little tips to have everyone involved, because then I don't feel as like selfish and guilty. So,
and, yeah. And I think that that's like one of the cool things about it is, I mean, cause it's sometimes you see it in, I mean, I don't think it's ever forced, but I think sometimes it can be more of a strategy. Like, let's talk about this, you know, cause you know that people like certain things. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people get from you, whether they're you inspire them to run more, or you inspire them to kind of go for whatever other dreams that they have, that, you know, there aren't any excuses.
Yeah.
You know, like, there may be reasons why you haven't yet, but doesn't mean it's an excuse to not go after what you want. And yeah, I think you're showing so much of especially in the beginning, you're showing so much what was going on. It's like, oh my gosh, like she's a lot like me on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, if she can find the time, you know, maybe I can find 30 minutes here and there to do something that I want to do. And I think that that was really dope. And I think sharing content like that and still going after it and it's working, gives a lot of people permission to do what they want to do.
And that's a good word, permission, because people shouldn't need it, but for whatever reason, like, I think it makes it easier to have that a little bit. And if something I'm doing can give someone else permission to go do their own version of that, like, I feel really proud to be helpful in that way. But it also, like, I know that my version of all this isn't going to work for all families or all people. So it's like, I hope if anyone gets anything out of my journey, it's there's not that one way.
Yeah.
And people can do it their own way and make it work. And my way has been very different than everyone else's way, but permission, that's good. I'm happy to help people with that.
No, I think that's what it's all about, though. I mean, if you're going to have a platform, I mean, you should, yeah. I mean, I agree that you shouldn't need permission, and it's not like saying, hey, go ahead, you're allowed to do this, but it's like, if you have a platform, you know, hopefully you're giving someone permission somewhere to be themselves in some way, you know? Yeah. And I think that that was one of my biggest things of like why I share so much of my like sobriety journey and like the things that I've, you know, gone through, been through, put myself through, whatever, was to, you know, number one, give somebody permission to like know that they're not alone, or awareness that they're not alone in their struggle. Mm-hmm. And then also permission to like to kick that and move on to different things. And, you know, being a Black runner too, and in the space, and a Black creator in the running space, is like, I hope that people see it and go like, oh, well, you know, I resonate with him or the energy that he comes with. So, you know, maybe I can do something like that too, or different or whatever. So,
yeah, people 100% see that. And I have been so thankful how open you've been with your journey, because I really think sharing what you've gone through can help so many people. And I think I don't want this to sound condescending at all, but brave, like, is the word that comes to mind. Yeah. But it's really brave to do that and put yourself out there, because when you do put your authentic self out there, you're going to hear what people think about your authentic self, which can, you know, is scary to do that. But I mean, it's so helpful and it's so cool. And I remember learning your story, just thinking that was one awesome dude.
Well, thank you.
So there you go.
Well, because there's so many like examples of ways to do things, mm-hmm. I guess, like quote unquote, the right way, you know? So it's tough to go against that, you know? And it's tough to do, you know, like sometimes like brands will ask for things, or I'll have an idea to do something because I saw it work for someone else. Mm-hmm. And then there's like this moment where you got to realize like, that's not me at all, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think the more that we all be our authentic selves on camera or whatever, or at an event, and we make, you know, good jokes, bad jokes, whatever. I think the more we do that, then it shows people that like this one person's way that's got like all these followers or all this attention or all this money or whatever it is, there's other ways to get there, you know, and the more ways we, the more variety we have in that, the better it is for the person that doesn't see themselves yet. Mm-hmm. That goes like, oh, that's a good thing. There is, you know, there's no me yet. Let's go do it, you know, as opposed to like, let's fall into like, you know, the standard of whatever was working for everybody else's thing. So I got, so I posted this thing, the one we talked about in the beginning when you, you know, that you didn't listen to. So people did come with questions. So I'm going to go through. So number one, Bridge Diva just said, love that.
That's not a question, Bridge Diva.
Mas XO says, dogs or cats?
Oh, man. It depends. I don't know. I think cats are more like they can take care of themselves, which I'm into, but dogs a little like more of companionship, which is cool too. Is there like a cat dog? Can I pick both? Is that really lame? I don't know. I can't pick. I'm not either.
Just so or. Okay. And then Debonair Betty says, not a question, but she is full of je de vivre or something and positivity, rooting for you.
Well, that's really, can you work on that French accent for me?
I think I had the first one, the first.
Yeah, the je sounded right.
So I had, it's a, I don't know, it must be joy of life, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, that's so nice.
J-O-I-E-D-E-V-I-V-R-E.
Oh, that's cool. I don't know how to pronounce it.
I started.
Really that was good. Yeah, you had me going, especially with the hand motion, that little like chef kiss hand motion. That was really good. Yeah.
I don't know what made me do that. I didn't have to do this at all. And then, so Alex Ham says, what's her process for selecting jokes on Strava titles and does she workshop them?
Absolutely. Yes, I workshop them. Like I'll hear a joke that's about like, I don't know. There was one, that was like on the way home for, I don't know. I'm going to mess them all up, but there was one about like driving. And so instead of driving, I switched it to like running. And so I was like, oh, that was clever. But, I don't know. I hear them. I remember them. Like I have such a terrible memory, like hence why I can't text you back. Like I'm like, oh, I need to do that, and as soon as I don't do it right when I think about it, it is gone and out of my brain forever. But with jokes, I'll hear that and think, oh, that's really funny, and will like permanently occupy a space in my brain. Like these jokes should be paying rent because they're taking up a lot of space and I'm not getting anything out of it. But also like, and now people send me a lot of them, so people will like text me jokes or like send me on Instagram. And I'm like, man, I'm doing something right. If people hear something funny and think, oh, Kira would really like this, I feel like I'm right where I need to be in life, you know? So, but it's a little bit from everywhere.
All right. And then Mar Power says, what's your favorite recovery routine?
So first thing is within 30 minutes of like a workout or like a hard run or long run, you need to get like protein in. So I use the UCAN protein, but that is really important because within 30 minutes, that's when your body is like this high power machine. So if you can give it stuff that can help you recover, that is like step one. And then just try to take it easy a little bit, I guess. So sometimes, I don't know. I mean, naps are really good. I usually never have time for naps. So just making sure you're getting like a full night's sleep. Like sleep, I feel like, is my number one recovery tool. I get a massage once a week. I go to PT twice a week. When something like little comes up, like I'll be really quick to shift a workout. So like recently, I was just feeling a little flat and tired. And I was like, hey, coach, I think I need one more day before this next workout. And he was like, done. And so we shifted it a day and I had a rock star workout on that day, which if I would have had it the day earlier, I mean, that run was bad. I ended up getting a cramp. Like I just knew my body was feeling flat and tired. So I think give yourself some grace, like in between workouts and shift things if you need to be. It's tough when you're training like part of a team, you may not have that flexibility. But I think just like kind of listening to your body and making sure that that you're doing kind of, you're just listening to it. Oh, and then also food. Like you need to make sure you're getting in a lot of food and a lot of different types of food to make sure you're recovering in that way. And I've learned like if I go for a run and I start feeling like dizzy. I haven't gotten enough protein. If I go into run and I just feel totally drained and I'm like crashing at the end, I usually don't have enough carbs. Or if like you just start feeling thirsty, you know, you're dehydrated. So it's like I've learned all these little tells from my body to make sure that I'm doing the right things in between runs so I don't feel them during the runs. But I don't know. You have any recovery tips? What's your recovery tip?
I definitely take UK protein after. And I think I just try to like, chill. Like I just try to relax like as soon as possible after and eat food, you know? Cause I think a lot of times we like people lose their appetites after like a big workout. And especially if they have like a protein shake after, that's why I like UCAN too. Cause it's not like a heavy protein drink. Cause I just use water with it.
Yeah.
And so then I try to like eat as soon as possible after just to get other nutrients too. Like, so it's not just protein. It's like, you know, a nice good meal. And sometimes I'm not super hungry, but I'll still like sit there and like, you know, kind of make my way through the plate, you know, or try to.
Yeah. And I think like what's nice about the UCAN is you can just bring that in a bottle and then mix it right afterwards and drink it there. So like, rather than like when I'm at a track driving home, it takes me over 30 minutes to like get home and get something to eat. So I think you need to be really like thoughtful to bring that with you so you can drink it like right when you're done. But
you know Gwen Jorgensen?
Yeah, absolutely.
She like I think it was a couple of years ago she probably still does, but she used to do a lot of videos on YouTube about like her training and stuff. And then I think one of the videos that really stood out to me was like her husband would make like these meals and bring them like in Tupperware. So it's like she literally after the workout sit in her car and eat. And awesome. She talked about that for a little bit. And I'm like, oh, like, cause you're right though. It's like 30, 40 minutes, maybe an hour before you can like really finish the workout, talk to your friends, get home and then get food together. Or, you know what I mean? Unless you're like, are going to go straight to like a restaurant and buy something.
Yeah.
But it's tough to like get what you need in right away. So sometimes like just being a little bit more prepared will help out.
Dude, I'm a huge Gwen fan and I cannot wait to see, cause she's going back to the triathlon now, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. She is.
I am so excited to cheer her on in that. I mean, she is an incredible athlete, a phenomenal runner, but like knowing the gold medalist is going back to that, like I am so jazzed up to root for her in that. But yeah, and she's cool sharing her journey too. I appreciate all like her openness and everything.
Yeah, very, very open with her story, especially her YouTube stuff. Okay, so I'll ask one more question from here, and then I have a game that I just made up while we're on the...
Sweet, I'm in.
So kicking back with Kathleen, that's my mom. She says, that's a long way from talking about Budapest. That's a long way from home. How will you get rest on the long flights?
That's a really good question. And also hi to your mom. She's awesome. She's so sweet. So first off, I try to pick flights around times that would be helpful. Like if I'm traveling in the States, I'll usually try not to fly super early morning or really late at night to disrupt sleep. So I try to fly like in the middle of the day so I can get up, get my workout in, get everything, and then go catch a plane trip. When you're flying that far, it's going to totally disrupt. So I save my day off for the day after. So when I'm flying and I'm going to feel like really terrible, like I'll leave Saturday and I won't get in until like Sunday afternoon. But I'm going to take that day off so I don't have to rush or worry about trying to like get in and go for a run. So I'll just take it easy. I try to stay loose, you know, wearing compression socks on the plane, getting up, walking around, staying loose. But then as soon as I start traveling, I put myself on that other country's time. So I try to eat meals around the time that I'd be eating in. I try to sleep around that time. So on the plane, I try to like force myself to get on it like a day earlier. And then I just bought these like the Normatec compression travel ones that are just for your calves. So I bought them right before Australia and they were awesome. I could bring them on a plane. And so I could do that a couple times on the plane just to get like my blood flowing. And so that was really cool. Definitely recommend those. And and then just hydrate and electrolytes. So I'm always trying to keep up with the water and do that. But yeah, it's not easy. But then also I try to go out early enough that I have the time to recover when I get there. You go. Thank you for taking my advice and drinking water. So I give myself a little bit more time. And I know like it's really where I'm at, it's a luxury to have that time. And I have the flexibility to go out a little earlier. Typically, if you're traveling for like a marathon, you know, you can't take your whole week off work. So, you know, if you can start trying to transition to that time even before you leave, that would be helpful.
Perfect. Yeah. Like you just gave me all my tips for Berlin. I appreciate
that. Yeah.
So, okay. Ready for the game?
Yeah, I am.
The game is called The Word That Comes to Mind.
Okay, I'm all in, and I will be totally honest on this. I will tell you the first word that comes to mind.
All right. Ice cream.
Yum.
Yum is the best word. Anthony.
Oh, hilarious.
Competition.
Let's go. That's two words. That's two words. Okay, how about let's go. Let's go on one word.
All right.
Let's go.
You can.
Oh, man. Fuel.
Artichokes.
I already said yum, so I'm going to say best food ever.
Wow, these are getting longer.
I know, but how? Okay, just best then. Okay, and everyone will know I mean best food ever, but I'll just say best.
Okay. Olympic trials.
Pumped.
Budapest.
Oh, excited.
Family.
Love.
All right, that's it.
Okay, well, now I'm going to do it to you, and I don't have a list of words, so this is going to be my first word that comes to mind to your first word that comes to mind. Okay. Well, I'm going to say word, and it's going to be a word that just came to my mind, and now you're going to have to say a word that came to your mind. So this is going to get a little wacky, but we are going to say water.
You literally just did an I spy with my little eye.
It's true, but water. Okay, that's a tough one.
Hydration.
Podcast.
Fun.
I like that one. Marathons.
Long.
Family.
Boring.
What?
You said love, right?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, dang.
I mean, there's no rule. We don't have any rules to this game, so you could say the same.
No, I want to switch up a little bit. Foundation.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good. Okay. Yeah. DJ K Rock.
Best name ever. So I don't think anybody, no one can see though, but you signed in as DJ K Rock.
Were you worried? Were you going to let me in? Did you know it was me, or were you like,
I can see you. Like, it's not like, you know, like you're backstage. I can see you. It's not like just, DJ, it's not like somebody randomly calls you and like, DJ K Rock.
I don't know who I'm about to let in, but they sound like a good time.
Yeah. Maybe Kira came with a DJ.
Okay. Well, I'm going to throw, let's see, Berlin.
Fast.
New York.
Well, okay, I'm gonna do two separate ones. Okay. Hot because last year was miserable. This year, I'm gonna say fun.
Good. So wait, hold on. What'd you say for Berlin?
Fast,
and then New York, fun. Okay, fun. I like that.
Yeah.
I am going to do two more.
Okay.
The Run, Eat, Sleep show.
Amazing.
And fun is my last one.
Mandatory.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Good job.
What's yours for fun?
I didn't expect you to flip the script, man. Fun is... the first word that comes to mind is fun, but that's the same word, but it's like fun, but it's like a uppercase fun. Okay. Oh man, I don't know. I don't know. Fun's awesome.
I'll let you say fun. Fun's fun. But honestly, you know, thank you so much, Kira, for coming on the show again. And I can't wait to watch what goes down in Budapest. and we will all be cheering from you from all over the place. I wish I was going to be there so I could see you, you know, come through with the deuces. Wait, no, you stop doing the deuces.
I flip it up depending on like how I'm feeling. Here's the thing too. I never plan it. So it's like whatever I'm feeling at the finish line, that is what I'm feeling in that moment. So I never think, oh, for this one, I'm going to do this or for this one. But like New York last year, it was my son's 8th birthday and my 4th marathon of the year. And like as I was coming up, like I wanted to quit around mile 23. And I was like, I think I'm just going to walk off. This is like really hard. And then I was thinking, it's my son's birthday and they're all here cheering. I'm not going to quit on my son's birthday. So that was like the last final thought that like got me through. And I was thinking, oh, that's funny that he's 8 and I've done 4. So then I was like, I'm just going to hold 4 fingers up on each hand. Yeah. So that was like where that came from. But it just like, I don't know. It's just what's in the moment. I think usually races that I'm away from my family, I just feel like an over, like just a big sense of just missing them, I guess, at the end. Yeah. And then feeling like, you know, it's worth it. I completed this journey. Like, and so doing the I love you sign or whatever is like for my family. But yeah. I don't know, kind of just whatever happens, happens, you know, just let it flow. Yeah. What do you do when you cross the line?
Okay. So when, so like when I first met you and I first saw you do the deuces thing, I was like, oh, that's cool. Because normally as before that point, I did a lot of like, stopping my phone, stopping my watch, you know, like, so a lot of my like, and then I started looking at like, oh my gosh, all the pros, they know what's up. They go through the finish line and then you guys stop your watches like 12 steps past the line. Typically, you're not like stopping right away.
So do you want to know why though? Do you want to know why? Cause we have a technical meeting the day before and almost always there's a slide that says don't be this guy and it's someone stopping their watch on the finish line.
Yeah, he's just looking down.
So they remind us the night before for most of these races. So that's a reason why, because we have someone reminding us, don't stop your watch then, get the picture and then run through. But I think they actually just don't want us to block our bib because it has a sponsor on it. So that's why I think they want us like run through and get a good picture. So their bib is like, you know, full front. But anyway, sorry to interrupt. Finish this.
So next time you should just cross your arms. Put them right on the bib. yeah, so a lot of mine were like really bad, like down steps and me stopping my watch. So then eventually I'm like, okay, I got to do better. And I haven't really gotten like a thing yet, you know? So everyone's different. It's random. And I don't even know what the last one I did with. I think the last one I was like, I just came in like I was just like hugging everyone. I don't know what was happening. Oh,
that's cute.
No, like no, that. Not on purpose. I'm just making fun of it.
No, like, no, but that's sweet. I like that. Should be your thing. Like,
oh, give me a hug.
Yeah, bring it in. Let me know like a little. This isn't really a secret, but it's something weird about me. So part of the reason why I like doing the peace signs. Well, part of it is because my father-in-law always did it when he finished race. But then also I realized, when I like wave, I have like my pinky kind of goes rogue sometimes. So if I go in and ask someone for a high five, it's like they're like,
whoa,
why are you doing that with your pinky? Mm-hmm. You know, it just has a mind. Where's my finger? It has a mind of its own. So it's then
wait, you're not doing anything with it?
No,
right now?
It just like does whatever. I mean, I could straighten it up when I think about it, but just relaxed, it's like what just happened? Does a little crooked thing. Nothing. It's on both hands. It's just weird. It's just weird. I don't know. I am who I am. That's all I have to say. But I realized for a while I was waving to people on runs and I waved to everyone. And so I'm always waving. And like for a while, I feel like people are like, why are you like, that looks kind of creepy. So then I realized instead of waving and looking creepy, if I just did the peace sign to everyone, then that little pinky wouldn't go rogue. I don't know. I think I have some like British heritage. So maybe that's part of it.
Maybe you're meant to drink sip tea.
Yeah. Maybe this is like a tea pinky or something. I don't know.
That's what you should do when you cross the line at Budapest. You get a little sip a little
but
bit
anyways,
of tea.
So that's why I switched from waving to everyone to the peace signs. And then the peace signs I just like doing it now because it's like peace and love, everyone.
Yeah. No, I think I like the peace signs for you. Like it's kind of cool. It's like at first I thought like maybe you were like a Richard Nixon fan. You know, because he doesn't, you know.
No, not at all.
Oh, wow. That's a good call.
We're all in this together. That's kind of how I feel, you know?
No, I love that. So I got to, next, so I'll watch to see what you do.
Okay.
And then I'm Berlin's after you. So I'll have some time to think about what I want to do.
What if I do the hug? And then the hug becomes my thing. And you're like, I said it first and I have proof.
I think that would be fine. I think that, like, if I have it on record that you stole my, you know, my thing, okay. That would be more clout for me. And then since you're a good person, you'd be like, hey, I know you guys really like this thing that I did at the end of this race. From Katami Runs, go follow him because he's amazing. If you did that, I'd feel
be cool again. Okay. Yeah, that cool.
I wouldn't like unfriend you or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll work on with my finish line thing and then we'll like meet back up and like figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good. I'll be looking out. I'll keep an eye out for you at Berlin and see what you do.
All right.
Are you doing any races before then or just going right into it?
So I did this thing called like Summer Speed that me and my friends for the PR project made up. And it was like, we're just doing a bunch of races, having fun, invited people to do it with us. And we have the show, we talk about it on the PR project on Sundays. And so I did a bunch of like shorter races, like 5Ks and 10Ks and PR'd in a couple of those. So that was really cool to like lead into marathon training with some speed. And so I think that like, I think I'm done with racing. I think I may do a tune-up race. Mm-hmm. Like 3 weeks before or 4 weeks before. Do you normally do tune-up races?
I like a longer, harder effort, like 4 to 6 weeks before. So that was the purpose of Australia.
Okay, cool.
So, but you can get that out of your training too. It doesn't need to be a race, but. Yeah.
But I think normally I've done like 3 weeks, but I think because of like the way it falls, there's nothing long enough like on the weekend 3 weeks out. So I think
I did in 2019, I did the Philly half marathon right before Berlin.
What is that?
It's an awesome race in Philadelphia. It's a flat course. It's really fast. The year that I did it, it was very, very hot. Mm. But I remember thinking that was like perfect timing to Berlin.
I wonder when that is. Okay.
I want to say it's early September.
Yeah, I'm gonna check that out because yeah, I just couldn't find anything in that would be optimal. So
yeah, so that could be it's something to think about. But
okay, all right. Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, this is officially I think it might be the longest podcast I've done
ever.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because everyone like gets a little antsy around an hour. Like I'm okay with it. I mean, there's not that many people I guess are just like just like randomly want to talk. Like unless you're sitting in the same place. It can get kind of weird, like an hour.
So we're going. If someone beats me, you'll have to bring me back on, and then we'll beat them. So
okay, yeah,
I kind of like being in that top spot.
one of these days, like I wanted to, because we did the podcast in your or the interview, the shorter interview, like in your shop there, mm-hmm. In your store. I don't know what like why I couldn't think of store, like I was just came with the shop. and I kind of want to do like I'd love to do like a sit down interview, like pull out like Rich Roll vibes and like just like really talk, you know, like do this but then go a little deeper and talk about like heartfelt stuff and you know everything, you know, like I'd love to do that one day. So hopefully someone does beat you so I have to like fly down to Virginia to do a different one, a better one.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think that's why your podcast is so awesome, though, is because you're like the perfect mix of funny and lightheartedness, and then you go deep too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why you're really good at what you do. So,
all right, well, I appreciate that. Thank you for complimenting me right at the end of this here.
Yeah. Well, let's go out on a high note.
I mean, if we had started off like that, I probably feel like this conversation would be a little more concise and a little better. Yeah. Like,
well, we'll finish right where I started. You're looking fresh today, Tommy. I just wanted to tell you that you're looking real fresh.
Look, you look good today. And the word that comes to mind is fresh. Fresh is what the kids say when they but I appreciate it. Thank you. You look great as well. You look like you're about to go crush a marathon, and I cannot wait to watch. Peace out.
Raising the roof. Peace out.
Please don't raise the roof in Budapest. They won't invite you back.
Okay. Why not? Give me one. Two good reasons why I shouldn't be
racing. Two good reasons. Have you ever been running as fast as you possibly can at the end of a marathon and done something weird with your both hands? I feel like going up in like that would throw off a weird thing. I don't want to do it.
I thought you meant I just couldn't do it at all in my time in Budapest.
Well,
I'm okay saying I will not do that when I cross the line, unless that's what comes to mind. But
when they hit you with the camera, you know, when they go like, you know, they do the announcements, they hit you with the camera, do raise the roof.
Well, that's what I usually do because I don't know what else to do with my hands.
Oh, you raise the roof in the beginning of your marathons normally?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what else to do when they're like, the camera's right in my face. I just don't smile. I'm like, okay, let's do this.
Let's go. Do the Will Ferrell. As soon as it gets on you, just like slowly bring your hands up.
Well, it's funny. I was in Chicago last year. I think this is, no, maybe it was in Boston, but I gave a talk to a lot of kids that are mainly like basketball players. Mm-hmm. And so I asked them at the end, like, question for you guys, is raising the roof still in? If not, what else should I do? And so I started doing it and the whole audience was like, no, stop. Yeah, they're like, it's not in.
Yeah, no, it's way out. Like, it's not even like it was like, you know, like I said something the other day and my daughter's 16. So, and she's like, oh, dad, people don't say that anymore. But it's like, she's talking about like 2 weeks ago it stopped. You know what I mean? Like, raise the roof stopped like a good 20 plus.
See, that's exactly
years ago.
Why I do it.
Okay.
Because like you don't see anyone else raising the roof. Mm. So that's why I like raising the roof. But I don't know. So then they were telling me all these other moves I should be doing instead of raising the roof.
Yeah,
like,
there's probably some good ones to do.
Well, and they were trying to teach me and I was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to stick with raising the roof. So.
Well, I mean, but there's a lot of things in history that like people don't do anymore and like should stay there.
Are you suggesting raising the roof is one of those things?
Man, I'm leaning towards yeah on that one.
Can I see you raise the roof right now? I double dog dare you to raise the roof.
My arms don't even do it anymore. It's so far. It's so far gone. Like,
Just try it. It feels a little good. Just try it.
I can't. I don't even know how to do it. My shoulders don't even work like that.
We've evolved to not be able to raise
the roof. Yeah, so like this is as high as they go. I can't even raise the roof. The roof, you know. But what how about this? I'll try, since your career in running is slightly more important than my career in running, right? So when I cross the line in Berlin, if I can remember, I will raise the roof when I cross in New York.
Okay, I mean, in Berlin. I like that. How about this? If Budapest goes well, you have to put a video of yourself raising the roof on Instagram.
Wow. All right. I'm down with that. Hold on. I wish I had stopped recording before this so I could like back out of that.
Oh, we got it on.
Yes. But then I will have essentially done it on Instagram if I do it when I cross the finish line in Berlin.
Yeah, but mine is before. And I'm just really would like to see you raise the roof as soon as possible. So okay. that is
that's
why.
Good.
So.
That's good.
But see, that's good because now in the race, it's going to like everything's going to get heavy and like,
you're gonna think it's
gonna be hard, and I'd be like,
Tommy's gonna
raise the roof. If I want to see Tommy raise the roof, I gotta keep going through this.
Yeah, so. I mean, like, you know, at mile 23, you thought about your son's birthday, and you're like, hey, I gotta keep going, and then you threw up the force. Yeah, I could be like that motivation, like, instead of you like taking everybody's energy out of a room at mile 23, I'm giving you life here, you know.
Thank you. Right. That's all I ask. So, all right. Well, I'm sorry for anyone that is still listening right now, but if you're on a long run, you're welcome. We've kept you company the entire long run.
I feel like if anyone's still listening now, they really wanted to. You know,
it's probably either your mom or my mom. So hi, moms.
Hello, mothers. How are you? Got a confession to make now. All right, cool. Thank you so much. You're the best. I can't wait to see what goes down in Budapest. And thank you. Don't worry. Let's see, that was a fun one. I really appreciated the time that Kira took on this as longest podcast that I think that I've ever done on this in the history of the Running Sleep Show, I think. Really great episode. I loved every little bit of it. I picked up a bunch of tips. I went and actually tried the speeding up a little, you know, throwing in some surges, as she called them, in the warm-up before a workout. I tried that after this episode, after we recorded, and I think it worked. Like, the first couple of intervals weren't as
holy crap as they normally are, you know? So I think there's something there. Really, whatever she says about running, I'll try, because like, she's fast and she's getting faster and she's awesome. So that's just is what it is. I'll try whatever she says. So here we are. Go try it. Test it out on your next big workout or big long run or something like that. And let me know, like tap in like in the comments, like, oh my gosh, I tried this and it worked for me and I'm faster than ever. Like in your words, obviously. And thank you so much, Kira, for taking the time out and spending some time with me. And can't wait to see what you do in Budapest. And that's all. And tap in. If you're not watching the World Championships, make sure you find out what day the marathon is and you tap in on Peacock because you can watch it live. And I think I'm going to take the day off that day. I don't even know what day it is. I'm taking it off. Work, I'm sick. Guys, I can't come into work. I'm watching the marathon. Have a great day. Hopefully your long run or work or walk or whatever was good today. Love you. Talk to you soon. Run, eat, sleep, and repeat.